When you hear the word sports, what comes to mind? Maybe your favorite football team or hockey player, since many of us picture a physical competition. However, one emerging game has reimagined the landscape of athletics, esports. It elevates the video games you played as a kid into an online competition that's earned the top players millions of dollars. In fact, serious gamers can earn scholarships to play at the collegiate level, just like any other sport. And though these teams hold practices online instead of on a field, they still require trainers and medical staff, like Joanne Donahue, an esports exercise physiologist.
As of 5 years ago, I never heard of esports. And when my vice president came to me and said, we have an esport team on campus and we need to really address their health concerns, I had to Google it. I didn't even know what it was. And then I got heavily involved with the team. And as somebody who was not a gamer, I was a little resistant at first. And then I really got to know it. And I got to know the players and I got to know what was involved in doing it. And I started really diving down and looking first what the injuries were, what the health concerns were, and was anybody even addressing these health concerns? Because there's no research out there on this population yet.
Donahue is an associate professor in the College of Osteopathic Medicine at the New York Institute of Technology. She says the lack of research comes from just how new the sport is. She could find only a couple of scientific articles when she first began looking in 2016. And though that number has jumped up to a couple hundred research papers, Donahue says it's still in its infant stages. She wants esports to find and fix any health issues now, instead of decades from now, like with other sports such as football.
Believe it or not, the first concussion study was in 1890. And that long ago on PubMed, you could find a concussion study on football in 1890. And in the 1920s, it was addressed a little bit, but it really was not even recognized by the NCAA until about 1970. So you're looking at almost like, you know, you're looking at almost 100 years before they even address concussions in a major sport. So we don't want that in this population. We're addressing injuries that could be recognized early on.
The sport has already seen how repetitive injuries can affect the players' careers. Professional esport athletes retire as early as age 23, with the average being just 26, which is nearly identical to the NFL's average retirement age of 27.
The primary reason for retirement is overuse injury, and it's very sport specific. So we're really seeing wrist, hand, shoulder, neck, because that's really what they're using.
And Donahue says no single exercise will be able to prevent these injuries. Many people assume the biggest hurdle for esport athletes is the sedentary lifestyle, but it's actually overuse injuries that have proven to be the greatest concern. Donahue says the best way to combat these risks is to create a prevention strategy.
What we're really looking to do is kind of come up with a protocol where these players are mandated to take breaks, are mandated to do, I want to say a protocol to prevent them, but it doesn't exist yet in esports. And that's kind of where the research is going to go. So that's the first thing I would like to see is preventative, you know, because once you have a repetitive stress injury, now you're always playing catch up to not irritate it again. You want to prevent it. And then obviously the second one is the sedentary lifestyle that comes with it. They definitely sit for prolonged periods of time, and that can be easily be addressed by just mandating breaks.
Donahue says the sedentary nature of gaming has increased the prevalence of deep vein thrombosis in players. That occurs when a blood clot forms in one of the deep veins in your body, usually in the legs. Symptoms range from mild to severe, but can last for months or even years.
I'm sure you've heard of it. I'm sure you've heard of people who sit on airplanes for long periods of time who could be at risk for forming blood clots. We're seeing that more and more in esport players as young as the age of 12 years old. It's been documented. They actually have a name for it now called e-thrombosis that Dr. Beasley coined in 1983. And it's completely preventable. You know, we're looking at kids at 11, 12 years old, and it goes all the way up to adulthood. But when you sit for 2-3 hours, it's usually a cumulative effect. You know, if you sit for one day and you play a game for 3 hours, are you going to get a blood clot? Most likely not. But if you're playing 3 hours, 4 hours a day for weeks on end every single day, then you are more risk for it.
Fortunately, the condition can be completely prevented by taking a 2 to 6 minute walk every 30 minutes while playing. However, Donahue says these breaks have to be mandated.
you're really leaving it to a population that they're not going to take a break. You're involved in something. We all know when we get stuck at work and we start typing or something, you know, hours can go by. So how do you force someone to take a break, especially young kids who aren't really thinking of preventative medicine? So again, that has to come from coaches and it has to come from game manufacturers to kind of implement this somehow.
Both Donahue and Mark Gugliotti advocate for New York Tech's players to take small breaks. Gugliotti is an associate professor of physical therapy at New York Tech and was recruited to be a part of the esports staff as the physical therapist consultant.
And my larger focus with the esports team is really their postural positioning, the ergonomic setup with their PlayStation, and making sure that if they are incurring any types of injuries or discomforts associated with play, largely related to headaches, neck pain, low back pain, shoulder girdle pain, I can sit with them and talk with them and guide them or treat them accordingly.
Gugliotti says finding the correct posture and positioning can reduce the risk of injury. He looks at everything, from how far the athletes sit from their screens to how their bodies move as they play.
We're sitting in front of our screen. Reach out and touch your screen. If it's closer to you than one arm's length, then it's too close for you. If you can't touch your screen, then it's too far away. You should be able to sit comfortably with your hips and knees positioned like at a 90-90 position to give you warranted support for your low back. Some people like to slouch a little bit. Some people like to have that extra little support behind them. Really, at that point, those fine little tweaks are the differences between I can sit comfortably for a half hour without having to get up, or I can sit longer.
This guidance has helped many players at New York Tech, like Matthew Pinto. He's a medical student at the university and a member of its esports team, the CyBears. He says many back problems happen while positioned in what's called the gamer lean, where players are hunched over toward the screen. To fix his own back issues, Pinto says a new chair was worth every penny.
They're called a gamer chair, not because they're specifically designed for video games, but they're designed to maintain your posture sitting at a computer all day. And in certain games where you have to maybe lean forward, your chair can actually lean forward to keep your spine upright and level. So even though your body's leaning forward, you still have it back to your chair to rest on.
But Pinto says that no matter what precautions are taken, you can't eliminate all injury risks.
Regardless of how you're playing the game, you will get hurt. People don't realize that even if you're at a computer all day, your hand is constantly having to move for the mouse, typing on the keyboard. It's a lot of work for those fingers, and the muscles aren't fully as strong as your legs or your arms. There's always been this like stigma that esport athletes don't ever really get injuries, don't need trainers like other people do, like the other athletes. They 100% do. If you research into injuries that esports players get, they get a lot of injuries just as much as they do normal athletes. They may not be like torn ACL levels of severe, but a wrist injury is still make or break. You might not be able to play the sport anymore, much like a torn ACL.
Which is why Donahue says pressing pause for a couple of minutes is one of the most important aspects of preventing injury. And the break isn't just for the player's physical health. During gameplay, the athlete's mental processing works overtime.
If you talk to somebody who's a gamer, they'll be like, I'm exhausted after playing for 2 or 3 hours. That's more the mind-body connection. It's a very stressful thing. I actually compare them more to air traffic controllers mixed with violinists. Because air traffic controllers, their mind is going, they actually have to take a break usually every 25 to 30 minutes because they have to have so much focus that it's fatiguing.
Donahue says the same thing happens with the gamers.
We did a study that we show they do up to 300 action moves per minute, sometimes 10 moves per second. They move so fast. Their fine motor skills are usually excel far above and beyond what an average person can do. But at the same time, that fine motor skill is connected to their mind. They have to move just as quick. They're always thinking. After about 2 hours, they start to deteriorate and they start to lose that and they get slower. Their executive function gets slower.
But with a small break after those 2 hours, Donahue says they see an improvement in that deteriorated executive functioning. So even if the players are active in other parts of their lives, they only have so much mental endurance before they burn out.
You can work out every single morning, but then if you go sit in your chair and play that game for 3 to 4 hours without taking a break, you're still going to get neck injury, still going to get repetitive stress injury. you still are at risk for getting blood clots, even if you do exercise every single day. So to me, my plan with them is taking the break. I can't stress that enough to them because that break gives the muscles a rest.
Unfortunately, while small breaks are possible, taking days off to recover isn't much of an option for collegiate and professional gamers. Unlike other sports, esports don't have an off-season where the players can rest.
Baseball takes a break. They have spring training. They come back the season. Football has an off-season. Even on collegiate levels, we have off-seasons. Esports is year-round. They do not get a break, especially on the professional level. And that's a problem. Even professional runners, so runners is marathons year-round, they do take seasons off. People don't realize that, but they do. There are certain races they won't do because they have to give themselves a rest. None of that exists in esport, none of it. And if it does on a certain team, it's because the coach is implementing it. But because no other teams follow it, they fall behind.
So most teams practice year-round. But even if an off-season was created, Gugliotti says another obstacle would be getting the players themselves to honor that break.
Trying to educate them early would be best because we're working with student athletes in the age realm of 18 to 21. Their body can attenuate a lot of those forces that we would consider probably harmful in the long run. So at that point in time, it's again, encouraging them in the buy-in that this is preventative, this can prolong your game, and maybe incentivize them in that way to embrace that idea of off-season type of activity.
You can find more information about Joanne Donahue, Mark Gugliotti, Matthew Pinto, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. I'm Reed Pence. Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
It leads us to turn our backs on the major crises facing humanity, and many people die as a result.
How our mind's natural defenses can be deadly for the growth of society.
Then, how much do you trust your memory?
People are having consistent false memories for certain images that are the same across people.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
Washing dishes, grocery shopping, childcare, cleaning, clothes washing. They are relentless because they have to happen every single day. And if you miss a day, it's very obvious.
The gendered roles many of us fall into. Them.
There are shipwrecks in cornfields in Kansas. There are wrecks in the deserts of Namibia. There was even a wreck found under the wreckage of the Twin Towers on 9/11.
Uncovering the lost ships of the past. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.